This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
I want to thank you for listening and for all your support as we at Death, Sex, and Money have made our move to Slate. Your stories, voice memos, and emails have meant so much to the team. As part of this transition, there's a new way to support our show financially at Slate, our new home, and you'll get something special in return. Subscribe to Slate Plus, and you'll not only support our work on Death, Sex, and Money, you'll get access to new benefits, including listening to us and all of the other great shows Slate makes, like Slow Burn and Decoder Ring, without any ads or sponsor breaks. To subscribe, just click Try Free at the top of the Death, Sex, and Money show page on Apple Podcasts, or visit slate.com/DSM+ to get access wherever you listen. Thanks.
As a 28-year-old, it's time for me to get to the big leagues or get out. And so I was really optimistic that this year was going to be the year. And now that there's just no year at all, like, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen next year.
This is Death, Sex, and Money, the show from WNYC about the things we think about a lot and need to talk about more. I'm Anna Sale. And this is our series, Game Changer. Across the globe, sporting events and seasons have been canceled or postponed because of COVID. And that's meant big changes for athletes who make their money from the games they play and organize their lives around them, too. Mitch Hrachek is a minor league baseball pitcher who went from spring training with his teammates in Florida to working out his arm alone in a park near his grandma's house in Breckenridge, Colorado.
I would just throw my baseballs at the net, go pick them up, then scoot back and throw them again.
Minor league baseball was canceled this year, but Mitch still needed to stay in shape.
All of the gyms were closed. So I actually went to Home Depot, which was one of the only places that was open, and bought a bunch of concrete and flower pots and fastened my own set of weights. And I basically, I was mixing concrete on my driveway, and, you know, with like rubber gloves on. And I poured the concrete into the flower pots to let it dry and, you know, basically made these homemade 45-pound plates. I have 4 of them.
Are they like terracotta flower pots?
I don't know what terracotta flower pots
like,
are.
Like orange, like the kind of orange flower pots that just like...
No, they're 18 inches in diameter and I think 4 inches deep.
I see, like a plate. So it's like flat.
Yeah.
So did you figure this out? You're just like cruising around a Home Depot with a cart and like, what am I going to use? Like what?
Yeah. I mean, it's how do you get creative?
Mitch and I talked in early August, 9 months after he'd gotten picked up by the Minnesota Twins to play on their minor league teams.
I was probably slated for AAA baseball this year, which is the closest level to the big leagues.
And he says going into the season, he felt like there was a good chance he'd get called up by the Twins to make his major league debut. Mitch was signed to the Twins on a free agent contract, his first since being drafted after his junior year of college.
I was finally able to negotiate a salary on the free market. It's a huge problem in baseball. You know, the minor league salaries are really, really low. You know, the contract that everybody signs out of the draft is a 7-year contract.
Seven years.
Yeah. And so the only way to get out of that is either to get released or to basically get to the big leagues and get onto a major league contract. But so I knew that the wages were going to be bad, but there's the very widely held belief among minor league baseball players, especially the ones that are just signing, it's like, it'll only take me a couple years to get to the big league. So I'll just live off my signing bonus and everything's going to be okay.
How did you think about how much money you were going to earn after that signing bonus when you're becoming a minor league baseball player?
So I signed, this is public information. I signed in the ninth round in 2013 for $100,000. After taxes, it came out to be like 70 something.
Okay.
It's a good chunk of money for 21 years old.
Yeah.
It's a good chunk of money. I didn't get it all at once either. I got it over the course of a year and a half. So, but I did get that money, and I knew that, beside that signing bonus, the salaries, the wages in minor league baseball were, ridiculously low. The lowest being $1,200 a month to the highest in AAA being like $2,100 a month. You only get paid during the season. And before you know it, you're in the minor leagues for a year after year after year. And at a certain point, you haven't made a reasonable income for, 5, 6, 7 years. And you look back and you're like, wow, I wish that things weren't like this.
Hmm. And what did you do with your signing bonus?
So I didn't do anything with it, honestly. The only thing that I bought was a few books on investing, and I learned how to invest. I saw a lot of my teammates buying cars and buying all sorts of toys, and I realized that was probably not a good idea, and that $70,000 isn't a ton of money. Like, it can go pretty quick if you don't save it the way you should.
I want to move ahead to your 4 or 5 years into your contract. So when you're making, at most $2,100 a month, how did you do it?
So, minor league baseball players, including me, are militantly frugal. We're very creative when it comes to saving money. At least most of us are. The ones that don't have, the $1 million signing bonuses. The way I have played it every season is that I try to break even during the season while I'm playing. Like, for example, last year, 2019, 2018, I was in AA for most of those years, and I was making about $770 after tax biweekly. So, it's not a lot of money, but
no.
When you're working every day, it's not, you don't really have a whole lot to spend your money on besides food and shelter, basically. This last off season, I had an apartment with another baseball player, and of course, we weren't getting paid in the off season. We were working, side jobs and trying to make ends meet the best we could. But we furnished our whole apartment on Craigslist free, so we just collected it from all over the city in Denver from different people, and then at the end of the off season, we were able to sell some of it and make a little bit of money back.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what that apartment looked like when it was fully furnished with free stuff from Craigslist? What were the items?
It was a hodgepodge of stuff. We had, I found these really old, dirty, like bar chairs that this guy gave me for free. My roommate and I went to go pick up this powered reclining chair that this guy had. It was an 80-year-old guy, and he was trying to sell it, but he couldn't get it out of his apartment. So, people had come over to buy it for, I think, $300, but they couldn't lift it out of his house. And so finally he gave up and agreed to give it to us for free, only if we could lift it out of his apartment. And so we went over to his house and we were able to lift it. But it was not an easy task. Actually, that was the only piece of furniture we had. It was that couch.
So since you signed, how many different cities and apartments have you lived in?
Oh my God, so many. Since my career started, I've lived in Maryland, I've lived in Connecticut, Texas, Arizona, Florida, New Mexico. The nature of minor league baseball is such that you need to be able to get up and go at any time. Last season in 2019, I was playing for the Albuquerque Isotopes, which is the AAA team for the Rockies. And I wasn't pitching very well at all. It was a really tough spot in my career. But, you know, I had an apartment in Albuquerque, and I wasn't pitching very well. And the Rockies organization decided to send me to Hartford in like the middle of May.
Uh-huh.
And I got the news that I was being demoted during the middle of a road trip. So I was in Tacoma, Washington, you know, with a suitcase for, you know, a 7-day road trip. And they sent me to Hartford with just my suitcase. And I never went back to Albuquerque to clean up my apartment. My brother had to do it for me.
Wow.
You know, you can be sent across the country, you know, at a moment's notice.
And did you like just say to your teammates, like, see you later?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they all understand, you know,
yeah,
the nature of the game. I mean, so it's a crazy business. I mean, you got to be able to get up and go at a moment's notice, and you might stay there the whole summer. You might be there for 3 days. You really just don't know. So,
yeah. I want to understand. So your 7 years, you did your 7-year commitment, and then this season was supposed to be a 1-year free agent contract with the Twins.
That's correct. Yes.
Does that mean you were making more money than you had before?
Yes, I was making considerably more money.
Is that public? Can you tell me how much you're making now?
I'd prefer not to.
Okay. Is it like you feel like enough money that you can buy furniture for
absolutely
yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not. I mean, by all means, I wasn't going to get rich, but it was definitely like it was a comfortable wage, you know, to support myself the whole year. So I'd still only be paid during the season, but it was enough money to comfortably support myself, you know, as a 28-year-old, you know, the whole year round.
Got it. So it was seasonally paid, but enough to fix you for the year.
Yes. Yes. And so, and it's, what really sucks is I had that contract and it was signed and executed. However, the Twins are not honoring it. You know, since the season is canceled, they don't feel as though they're obligated to pay me that salary, which has been very frustrating in and of itself.
So you're not getting paid right now?
So minor league baseball, all of the teams agreed to pay their minor leaguers $400 a week stipends. I don't know if all teams are still doing it. The Twins are. So I am getting paid $400 a week after taxes, like $560 biweekly. So it is something, but it's a long shot from what I was what I was expecting.
So you were expecting to have a salary that was going to make you feel like you could finally be comfortable as a 28-year-old, and now you don't have
exactly
that.
Exactly. Yes. The most upsetting and difficult part of this is that, you know, a baseball career is very short.
Mm.
And as a 28-year-old in the minor leagues, you know, albeit the high minor leagues, I'm considered, you know, old for what I'm doing. And so, you know, it's not a great feeling knowing that I lost the whole season, you know, especially when I was so close. And, you know, it's just very frustrating.
Coming up, Mitch turns down his only opportunity to make it to the major league this year.
The way I saw it, the only chance I was going to be invited back is if either one, a whole bunch of guys got hurt, or two, and more likely, a whole bunch of guys got sick. Like, that's not a circumstance in which I want to come back anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he will chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts. We have had a lot of exciting new things to share with you about the show recently, but this might be some of our biggest news yet. Death, Sex, and Money is officially going to be live in New York City at the Tribeca Festival on June 11th. And I want to personally invite you to the live taping we'll be doing with the legendary journalist Kara Swisher. If you know Kara's work, you know her ability to get people to tell her things is unmatched. And she does it in her signature, hard-charging way. She's not afraid of things getting a little combustible. I have a slightly different interview style, so we're going to talk about that and play around with that in experimental ways that I think will make this a special show unlike any of our other live shows up to this point. And it's not often that I get to do a live Death, Sex, and Money show in New York, so I really hope to see you there. Whether you're in the city, on the East Coast, or just been looking for a reason to visit New York City, come on June 11th for this show. You can get tickets now at tribecafilm.com/deathsexmoney. We are so excited to see you there.
I'm Shankar Vedantam, here to tell you about a great mystery. That mystery is you. As the host of a podcast called Hidden Brain, I explore big questions about what it means to be human. Questions like, where do our emotions come from? Why do so many of us feel overwhelmed by modern life? How can we better understand the people around us? Discover your hidden brain. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
This is Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC. I'm Anna Sale. Only about 10% of minor league baseball players ever make it up to the majors, where they have a union and much, much higher salaries. And at the start of the summer, after minor league spring training was canceled, Mitch Hrachek still thought he had a chance to get called up to join the Twins roster. So that's how he ended up lifting weights he'd made himself at his grandmother's house in Breckenridge.
I couldn't go for months and months without lifting, especially lifting heavy. I mean, there's only so much you can do that's sufficient to stay, you know, powerful and explosive for baseball. So I was like, man, I got to figure out a way to, you know, move around some weight.
So when you say that you're trying to stay in shape in case you get called up, like how have you thought about that as the months have gone on and you're trying to think about, oh, can I have that candy bar or like, do I need you to do that run? Or, you know, like how have you thought about staying in shape and what your obligation is right now?
So it's kind of evolved as the time has passed. So, you know, earlier in the spring, there was a debate, you know, about as to how MLB was going to resume play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like I had a chance to be invited back when play started again.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I mean, I was one of the top, you know, minor league baseball players in the organization with the Twins that wasn't on the roster. So I like, you know, I wasn't on the team, but I was pretty close to being, you know, like one of the guys that would be a replacement if another guy got hurt, for example. So, you know, in April, May, and even June, I was training really hard. I was training 6 days a week, you know, really trying to stay in shape. And the MLB finally figured out a plan to resume play. And that was like mid-June maybe. And then they finally released rosters, you know, the names of all the guys that they're going to invite back on June 28th. And on June 28th, I got a call from the Twins, and they basically said, look, we're not going to invite you back now, but there's a chance that if something happens, we're going to invite you back. So we want you to stay ready. And so, you know, I had been staying ready. I was ready to go. You know, I was in shape, ready to be invited back, you know, whenever they called. But when I got the call from, you know, the organizations telling me that I wasn't going to be invited back, but they still wanted me to stay ready. Mm-hmm. I was kind of faced with a dilemma, right?
Yeah.
You know, I have an organization who wants me to, you know, continue training in suboptimal circumstances. At the same time, they're not paying me what my contract has on it.
Yeah. I bet that didn't feel good.
No, it didn't feel very good at all. So at that point, I told the twins basically, like, you know, don't call me.
You did.
Yeah. So, you know, because if they're not going to keep up their end of the deal, why should I? Especially why should I, you know, come work for them, you know, contributing to their billion-dollar enterprise? If they're like going to put me in a bad situation financially, and then perhaps a bad situation, you know, from a health standpoint.
Yeah. Was that a phone conversation with someone or was it email? How did you communicate?
Yeah.
That?
It was multiple phone calls.
When you hung up the phone, did it feel like the end of your baseball career?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yes and no. You know, I have a 1-year contract that expires in November. You know, I would like for that contract to be renewed. But I don't know if that's going to happen. So, you know, that's, you're right. It could be the end of my career. I really don't know. At a certain point, you know, I'm not going to be bossed around or bullied around, you know, just because, you know, the quote unquote, the dream. I want an equitable deal. I do believe that if the season happened this year and I was pitching well, you know, right about now, and there was a spot open, it could have been my number that was called. You know, I was like, you know, pretty close.
Uh-huh.
Honestly.
What's it feel like when you say, like, if this had been a normal year, I think I would have been called up right around now. What's it feel like to say that?
It's not a good feeling at all. It's been a pretty sad and depressing couple of months. You know, I put a lot of time and effort into something, and then it just kind of, you know, disappears almost overnight. And it's definitely upsetting. I mean, it's just some adversity. And, you know, I recognize that there are Americans all over the country that are in different but equally crappy situations right now. And, you know, I don't want to be interpreted as complaining about it, but it is unfortunate. It's just a very exciting and exhilarating, you know, thing to be able to compete against, you know, some of the best athletes in the world. You know, you can't really replace it.
When you think about a professional life, a career after baseball, what are you picturing for yourself right now?
Every offseason, I've tried to, you know, work on developing my skills in order to, you know, jump it, like hit the ground running after baseball in some kind of, you know, career. 1 year I took the LSAT because I was like, man, maybe I want to go to law school. You know, and I've done all sorts of little things, but this past off season, I got into web development. I started learning how to code websites, and I built a few sites this off season. I built a website for the gym I was working out at. And I also built a website for one of the youth club baseball teams that was working out at the gym. And so, you know, I had this little side gig going, and the pandemic hit, and I'm sitting up in Breckenridge like, man, I need something to do, especially to make money. And, you know, just through a very lucky turn of events, you know, I had a tweet that went viral. And, you know, I had a lot of people looking at my Twitter profile.
Oh.
And at the same time, you know, I came across another baseball player who's doing something similar. He had more experience than me in web development. And the two of us, I had a bunch of jobs lined up, you know, from this tweet. And he, you know, has a bunch of experience doing web development. And we decided to start a little business together. So I think we got together in maybe like late April.
Uh-huh.
Early May, and we started a little company called In the Zone Web Development.
In the zone, yeah.
So it's like a playoff of like being in the zone coding, but also in the zone is like in the strike zone.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I'm with you. I got it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I've been working on. You know, this since being home, this little web development agency. You know, we've done we have a whole bunch of different contracts, but we specialize in baseball, the intersection of baseball and the internet.
Now that you're not throwing baseballs in a training mode right now, when you think about throwing baseballs and being out there on the pitcher's mound, like, do you miss it?
Oh yeah, tons. Yeah, it's been really hard, especially because, you know, baseball started back up again. Like, it's happening now, and it's on TV. And so I've been watching some of the games, and I'm watching a lot of my former teammates and some of my friends out there competing. Like yesterday, one of my longtime teammates made his major league debut. And you know, I'm very happy for him, but at the same time, I'm like, damn, like I wish I was out there too, like making my debut. So it's been very frustrating, and I'm definitely sad, you know, that to not be competing, because that's what I love to do.
So at 28, have you looked back at yourself as a junior in college and thought, should I really have signed that contract?
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question. I mean, it's always been a dream of mine to play baseball in the big leagues. And so I don't really have any regrets. I mean, it's been a really hard path. You know, there's a lot of things that haven't gone my way necessarily. But at the end of the day, like, I don't regret playing baseball professionally. It's been, you know, it's very cliche, and I don't really like the cliche, but you know, chasing your dream is something that I put a lot of value in. I mean, I have the opportunity to go work, you know, go get a quote unquote real job, whenever I'm done. So, while I still can play baseball, I feel that, you know, I should.
That's Mitch Hrachek. Since I spoke with him, he's left Colorado and moved to Florida with his girlfriend. He's no longer getting that weekly stipend from the Twins, but he has started going back to the gym to get in shape for next season. Death, Sex, and Money is a listener-supported production of WNYC Studios in New York. I'm usually based at the studios of the investigative podcast Reveal in Emeryville, California. Annabelle Bacon produced this episode. The rest of our team includes Katie Bishop, Appy Yellow Duke, Emily Botine, and Andrew Dunn. Special thanks to Garrett Rushhouse for his help on this episode. The Reverend John DeLore and Steve Lewis wrote our theme music. I'm on Twitter at Anna Sale. The show is at Death Sex Money on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you're not already subscribed, sign up for our weekly newsletter at deathsexmoney.org/newsletter. Thanks to Ronnie Cardino in Hayward, California, who is a sustaining member of Death, Sex, and Money. Join Ronnie and support what we do here by going to deathsexmoney.org/donate. The pandemic upended a lot of Mitch's plans, but he says there's one way that his career has prepared him for a big setback like this.
Baseball especially is a sport where failure is the norm rather than the exception. I mean, like, if you're a hitter and your batting average is 300, you're getting a hit 30% of the time, which means that 70% of the time you're getting out, you're failing. And so, you know, and a 300 hitter is among the best hitters, you know, in baseball. I mean, that is like the benchmark for a really, really good hitter. And so failure is something that, you know, happens every day. You got to get used to it. You got to pick yourself back up and go get them the next day.
Look out for the next episode in our Game Changer series coming on Friday. I'm Anna Sale, and this is Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC.